Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Greg.
What's Hello. That noise?
Which what?
What was that noise?
Made by me or something?
By you. It sounded like you were tripping over. Which you weren't because you're sitting down.
I'm sitting down. That'd be impressive to trip over while sitting.
If anyone could do it,
I
it'd be
see that.
Actually probably me, not you. But anyway.
Hey, just speaking of tripping over while sitting, yeah. Last night, do you watch Tosh.0?
Not only do I not watch Tosh.0, I've never heard of Tosh 2.0.
Tosh.0 is, okay, you're going to know this kind of TV show where they look at YouTube videos and they talk about them, and they're usually pretty stupid.
Is it American?
Yeah.
Yes, I do know that thing. I do know that style of thing.
That
yes.
style. Well, Tosh.0 is no different. They go online, look at YouTube videos, and then I guess they pay the people that put up the videos some little tiny amount of money.
Mm.
And then they put them on this show, and Tosh is a comedian, and he's not my favorite comedian. He's pretty funny, but there's just something about the format of the show. They just nail it. Just the way he comments on these videos, and they have things where, like, if there's a really famous YouTube video, they'll get that person into their studio and do things with them. Or if someone was really hard done by, they'll bring them in and like write that wrong.
Really?
Anyway, I recommend you look up Tosh. It's Tosh, T-O-S-H .0.0 okay. And just look it up. It's really good.
So they might, for example, bring in the Cash Me Outside girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I only watched that for the first time the other day. Hilarious.
It's on Dr. Phil, right?
It was, wasn't it? That psychologist originally. Guy.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean that psychologist guy? Dr. Phil is like, he's Dr. Phil.
Was
he's
he?
Very
okay,
famous.
Okay. Well, not to me, Greg. tell me, whoa. If he's so famous, where did he start? Where did he get famous? Go.
On Oprah.
Wasn't it on Ricky Lake? Are you sure?
Oh, Tom.
I'm sorry. I didn't spend my youth watching soapies and talk shows like some other people. In Australia, we had this thing called high school.
You got outside.
Yeah. Not.
I thought you'd be inside away from all the snakes and reptiles.
There's actually been you saw all the redbacks when you were staying at my place, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's the one in the shower outside? In the outside shower.
James?
Yeah, that's James.
Yeah, he's dead. He's dead.
Oh, no.
No, he's probably still there. We moved a lot of them.
Okay.
It's pretty funny, actually. We, at like 11 p.m. one night, Michelle was like, right, I've had enough. So she went and got all these like leaves, and she was basically collecting redbacks on leaves and then walking them out to the road.
Oh, wow.
And if you're listening and you don't know what a redback is, it's a highly venomous Australian spider. It's pretty Correct. Small. They're like half an inch long. They can be half an inch.
Yep. I think James, the one you're referring to, he was the biggest one I've seen. He had a pretty big fat body on him.
Big booty.
Mm.
He had been working out. So, hey, you know that show where they critique people on YouTube?
No.
That you just
Oh yeah, Tosh.0, yeah.
I think when my no, you don't use cell phones at weddings went a bit viral. I think that they wasn't that show or that guy, but there's a YouTube one which talks about like technology, and they actually talked about my photo and like did a bit of roasting. Yeah, I remember watching going, ugh, I hate you guys.
Really? Oh, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see if I can find it. I'm sure it's still there. I don't know.
That was such a phenomenon when that happened.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty overwhelming.
And it was very well done, Tom, because you could tell by reading it was very from the heart, but you just hit a chord. It was just, I don't know, I think everyone was ready for exactly that message, you know?
It was the hero that we all needed. No, wait, you all needed, but you didn't know you wanted. Is that the way it goes?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm glad it's all over.
Until your next epic rant about, what would it be about? What would your next rant be about, Tom?
Probably cats.
Cats? Too many cats at weddings or not enough?
Not enough cats at weddings.
What they need is cat ring bearers. That's where it's at.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's amazing.
But they just go along a few meters and then like lick themselves and then like go meow, and just go off, do their own thing. They're too free spirited. And then they'll
flop on the ground and turn over and like pat me. Oh man, life goals right there. Imagine that.
Yeah,
you've had a. Was it you that had a certain animal ring bearer, a beautiful bird?
Yeah, an owl.
An owl.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sydney, yeah. It was really
cool. I guess it's awesome. Although I guess there are implications for animals, you know, wild animal kept in captivity or whatever.
Yeah, that's part of it. The bride was actually, she was really aware of, when she went to see the owl company, like the handlers, she made sure that they were super nice and they looked after the animals really well. She was really concerned about the well-being of the animals, and it was nice. And I met the trainer, and he was a very, very nice guy. I understand if people are still against it, but to me, it all seemed like a good practice, and they looked after the animals really well. Can I tell you a little secret about the owl ring bearer?
I would love it if you did that.
The owl doesn't actually bring the rings. Dun dun.
What do you mean?
It brings a pretend ring.
Wow.
Because the insurance company of owl guys wouldn't cover them for the potential millions of dollars of losses if they actually fly in, you know, gold and diamond wedding rings.
Because imagine if the owl's bringing in a 30K wedding ring and the owl's like...
And then it just goes, sweet.
YOLO.
What?
Yeah. It goes to its dealer in... Straight to the... Blacktown.
The pawn shop.
The pawn shop. Just pawns the ring and buys worms with it.
Buys...
Oh, no. Rats.
Mice and rats, yeah. Black market. So they take a pretend... Sorry to break everyone's... spoil all their dreams.
Shattered.
It flies in with a pretend ring, but it's all, but the best man who the owl lands on his arm, he's got it all figured out, and it's quite well done actually. When I first heard that, I was like, "What?" But then they explain, and you're like, "Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense."
I don't know if I want to live in a world where owls don't actually fly the rings in.
No,
I can understand that. That's man, yeah. I've had a rabbit ring bearer.
Oh,
yeah, it didn't walk real down the aisle. Actually, yes. So it was the bride and groom's pet rabbit. It was one of those rabbits that's like a foot long. You know those huge, more than a foot. It's like it's what's that?
Like that
massive rabbit. And the sort of thing that it doesn't really move very much. It just sort of sits there, and its ears are like half the length of its body. And it sat on this the groom's brother's lap for the ceremony. And it had its own cushion, had its own special cushion. And then at the end of the vows, they called up the rabbit, and the rabbit was brought to the front. And then it had the rings around its neck on a little thing, and they undid it and took the rings off. And yeah.
Very nice.
And the rabbit was like, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
They had no idea.
This is not my little enclosure.
Yes. Something's different.
Hey, Tom.
That was very cute. Tell me.
May I tell you a story?
Yes.
Thanks. I went to the South Island this weekend just gone.
Right.
Well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I went on an airplane. And when I checked my luggage, the lady said to me, "Hey, do you have any lithium ion batteries in there?"
In your checked bag. Okay.
In my checked bag. And I said, "No, I don't." And she's like, "Oh, that's good." And I said, "But I've got some in my carry-on." She's like, "That's fine, no problem." And then I was like, "Wait a minute. This happened to a friend of mine recently." And I said, "What if I had regular, what do they call them? Cadmium, whatever.
I don't even know, AA.
Non-lithium AA batteries in my checked luggage." And she was like, no, that's fine. She said something like,
"Really?
They don't heat up, do they? And is that a thing that lithium-ion batteries do? Do they heat up when they charge or discharge?"
Well, so, I don't know if lithium ion do, but AA batteries absolutely heat up when they charge.
Oh, yeah, when they heat up. But no, she made a specific point of, were they lithium ion? And I said, would they be? And I said, what if they weren't? And she said, no, they're totally fine.
So does this mean that person who stole my batteries
mistook yours for lithium?
They're colored.
This definitely warrants you or I doing some serious research into what kind of batteries can get checked. So consider this like a precursor to the start of next week, where I'm going to have all the goss on that.
If you would present that to me in some sort of dossier, if you can have it on my desk.
Audio-visual extravaganza.
Wow, that's frustrating. Like, I know they're just like AA batteries. They weren't worth very much. They were nice, rechargeable.
Well, they're the best batteries you can buy, those ones.
Yeah,
really,
it's just annoying. Like, if they did that and they didn't need to do that, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Although, I guess I'd prefer they be over-cautious and have a plane that doesn't crash than, you know what I mean?
Well, sure. But, I mean, if they made a mistake.
Well, who cares? I mean, what am I going to do? Like,
well, you're going to get me to walk down there right now and talk to them.
Because they're in New Zealand, so they're close to your house, right?
Yeah.
Can you just go to the office?
Yeah, I sure could. That down there. Really reminds me of one time. This is a totally random story. I was in Costa Rica, as you were, and this random Costa Rican walked up to me down the street. This seemed to happen all the time in Costa Rica. It probably happened to you too. Yeah. And the guys, because he thought I was American, and there was this like chilled out like guy my age, like 18, and he goes, "Hey man, are you from America, right?" And I was like, "Well, not really. I'm from New Zealand." And he goes, "Oh yeah, New Zealand, yeah. But he's like, that's like Nebraska whatever. Or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
White person. Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, "So in America, like you know the band Korn?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. I know the band Korn." And he's like, "Oh yeah, like so you know you just see them when you're walking down the street, right? You just like what are they like?"
Oh my god.
And at that point, I went, "Oh boy."
This reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Bart makes that collect call to Australia and about the water, the toilet water going down the wrong way.
Did you know we've already referenced that exact episode?
Have we really? That episode is amazing. It's a rich tapestry.
It is an extremely good episode.
It's one of the best.
Go on.
I had something to... I was just going to say, did you read the article this week that the US is banning, for a short period, you're not allowed to bring in, on flights coming from the Middle East, maybe it's only certain flights coming from certain parts of the Middle East, you're not allowed to bring in any electronic devices to the US for this period. I don't know if it's 48 hours or whatever, or maybe it's longer than that, but...
Anything bigger than a smartphone.
Which is pretty full on. Like I've got people on Facebook who are traveling to the States via via Dubai or Abu Dhabi. I'm not sure if they're included, but yeah, that's pretty... Imagine if you get to the airport and you're being forced to check all your camera gear, your laptop. I don't know what they do about batteries because now they've told us we can't take battery. Like they're going to just... Weird, eh?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, how can we even weigh in on that kind of stuff? It's just ridiculous. It's so out there.
Well, it would just be tough. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm not saying whether or not I disagree or not. I don't know the facts really, and maybe they have a very valid reason for doing that. But it would just suck to get to the airport and
absolutely
because like, you know if you have all your gear on your back on a backpack, that's not really a bag that's suitable to be checked. Like it's a, it's not like hard and padded. It's just like a little backpack. And if that's in the hole, then huge big cases are being thrown on top of it. I'd be worried for my gear.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are they going to like? You'll have to pay extra for extra checked luggage.
I don't know if they can force you to do that. If they're the ones who have changed the protocol when you arrive at the airport, maybe they
wouldn't
can.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, would be pretty frustrating.
I'm going to, as you know, I'm going to the States in. Like not long, and
yeah, pretty soon.
And then I'm. This is very on the down low, hush hush. But I'm just in the
not
process. I'm in the process, very early stages of negotiating an Italian wedding later in the year.
In Italy,
very very early stages. Not getting my hopes up at all. Just
announcing it on your podcast.
But, see how it goes. Letting people know that it's out there. But I'm not getting my hopes up.
What? Where in Italy?
No. I'm not even going to say anything more about it because it will only further jinx I've already jinxed it. I just don't want to go further down the jinx rabbit hole. So no more. But a friend of mine is actually going. I don't know the couple very well, but I know a guy going to the wedding, and he said to me, "Hey, he's going to Egypt after."
Okay.
And if it all worked out, did I want to go to Egypt? And I was like, "Yeah, man. Of course, I'd love to go to Egypt.
Of course, I do.
I've
never
ever been to anything like Egypt before in my life."
Yeah.
But immediately we started talking about, "Oh, I wonder what that means for later on traveling back to the States or further, you know, further traveling around."
Would this potential Italian wedding be during your trip to the States?
After.
Have you got your flights like in the same? But would it be on the same sort of period, or would you come back to New Zealand and then go back to Italy?
No, I would come back to New Zealand, but only for about a month.
All right, yeah, I got you.
So theoretically, I would have flights, probably not to Egypt booked. I'd have Italian flights booked.
I don't think traveling to Egypt would have any effect on further trips to the States, would it?
Is Egypt a Muslim state? Once again, I just don't know enough to really.
I don't know either.
Did you hear about Trey Radcliffe? You know him, eh? Trey Radcliffe.
Do I?
Just you know, oh, he's from New Zealand, so yeah, just,
you know, just you know, store. He probably lives near you. Yeah, him at the milk bar. I know, what do you call that thing? At the dairy.
The dairy.
Oh, nice. Trey.
Hey, how's the what would we buy at the dairy? Oh, lollies.
Milk. Oh, lollies. Yeah. Or you'd buy Whittaker's.
Whittaker's lollies.
Yeah.
He went to the States and he got taken aside and interrogated because he'd been to the Middle East in the last year or something. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
He went to the airport and then this all happened, and then driving away from the airport in an Uber, he did a video, a live Facebook video. And he explained the whole thing. And it was only really, it seemed to be because he had been to places that were, you know, those Middle Eastern countries recently. And they pulled him aside and they wanted to know who he was visiting, what his purpose for travel was, and where he'd been and what he'd talked about when he'd been overseas and what was his motivation for coming to the States. And they really were, it seemed, they were very curious when he didn't have accommodation planned in the States.
Because what? Really?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know what it's like. You arrive and he said to them, I book my hotel like on the day because I get a good deal on this
Absolutely.
App.
I did the same thing when I was there.
Yeah, so, but they were like, no, we don't like that. You know, who are you staying with? What are your parents' address?
Isn't he American?
Yeah, he's American, yeah. He's from Texas. That's weird. So let's not go any further on that because, where do you start and where do you finish? It's all ridiculous.
It's a rabbit hole of stupidity.
Hey, man, so what are we going to talk about?
Okay. So there are a few little things I have here. Now, I'm going to formulate this as a question to you or should I formulate it as a statement?
No, just go for it.
Okay, so our jobs... okay, our jobs, we can't claim to be doing a job that is as physically demanding as, like, I don't know, a builder or a carpenter. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Or like, I don't know, a roof tiler or whatever. But I've got to say, if I do two or on the few occasions I do three weddings in a row, the day after those, I'm like, how are you feeling after two or three weddings in a row?
Yeah, pretty shattered, yeah.
Pretty tired.
My feet are sore and...
Yeah,
my wrists a little bit sore.
Yeah, man, and from holding up. Exactly.
Yeah, holding up. A couple of kilos in each hand.
In each hand, yeah. So, what do you do to combat? What are you laughing for? Wow. Okay, so this happens to me. What used to happen to me? So that the day after, say on a Sunday after two weddings, I would get up in the morning to make coffee as quickly as possible, and I could barely walk to the kitchen until my muscles loosened up. I used to be in so much pain.
With your newer shoes? Or
well, no, this is pre, this pre, is pre-new shoes.
Pre-Nikes.
Yeah. The reason I'm asking this is some conversation I had with someone this week, and I think they were saying how wrecked they were. And I actually invented this. I think I invented it. Maybe I didn't, but it's called a wangover.
Oh, yeah. I heard it first from you.
Okay, sweet. I'm sure someone else has said it, but before I said it, but which is a wedding hangover, which is that general feeling the day after a wedding or two weddings where you just like, you wake up and you're just like, oh my God, like I've got a headache because I'm dehydrated. I didn't drink enough water because I was like running around everywhere and there wasn't, you know, a glass and a water bottle there. And I didn't want to have to pee every half an hour because I've got places to be. And then my feet are tired because I tried to wear, you know, nice semi-formal shoes that make me look respectable and my arms are tired and my legs are tired and I was on my feet for 10 hours. So yeah, that's classic wangover, the result of that. So is this something that you either do or did experience or have experienced?
Oh, totally, yeah. I noticed a big difference going from a 6D, two 6D bodies to 5Ds. I used to use a 5D Mark II And then going to a 60 was so nice because they're significantly lighter. Like
they really
a good couple of hundred grams lighter. And it
I did not know that.
Huge difference. Yeah. That was part of the reason why I went for the 60. No regrets going up to a 5D again. Really like, you know, fantastic camera. But they are heavy. They're very, very heavy. I've been asked by a few people about my wrists, how I feel, because you get your hands in that same position and it's hours and hours and hours at a wedding. But for me, that's not a big deal. I think that I'm kind of lucky because I've got a good base. Like I used to do building and I used to do those, I don't know, it's quite physical things.
Demanding, so yeah.
Yeah, I got kind of a good base muscle tone or whatever. Maybe my wrists are used to it. But just sitting here, it's quite funny. I've just been editing for the last 2 days straight and my left wrist being at the computer, just the way it's sitting on the desk and then the way my fingers have to work the keys, man, my wrist is killing me.
I need
to get one of those padded strips at the base of my keyboard to elevate my wrist.
I'll tell you what I did to, I was having the same thing when I used, do you use a mouse?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so when I used the mouse, I was getting really bad cramps in my hand because for hours on end, I would have, if you imagine your hand gripping a mouse and you see the shape of your hand, see how it's kind of like curled over into it. Yeah, okay. I was having, at the top of my thumb, where my thumb meets my hand, I was having a lot of cramps. So I bought one of the Apple, the big white trackpads.
Mm-hmm.
The Bluetooth trackpads, and now I use that. And it has Force Touch. It's a really good trackpad. And I use that now, and I never have any wrist issues. Because my hand is flat. Like my palm is like fully open when I use it. And my thumb is resting on the table, and then I'm just using my three main fingers to be on the trackpad. So I've totally managed to eliminate any type of pain I had in my wrist from using the mouse.
Good one.
Oh, sorry.
While you're on that topic, I'll show you. I use one of these mouse pads. Can you see it in profile?
Oh, yeah. Is your palm goes on that thing?
Yeah. It's kind of like your wrist. Like
inside of
your wrist. So it's a mouse pad with a gel pad at the bottom.
Yeah.
Which, so it just elevates your wrist. And for me, that was, I mean, because I've got the trackpad. I've actually got three mice devices. I've got, because I've got your typical magic mouse, whatever it's called.
Or
is it
the Apple one?
The wireless one, is that the Mighty Mouse or the Magic Mouse? Anyway,
I don't remember.
I got the wireless one, I got the trackpad, but you know what? I went back to the good old plug-in wired USB mouse with the little trackball on top.
Oh,
and that's what I use, man, just because I just love how accurate it is. It's just so nice. You never have any skips or any Bluetooth interference. It's just boom.
They are very accurate.
But anyway, so I use that mouse, but having gone to that elevated trackpad has been a lifesaver. So I just sitting here now, I basically convinced myself I have to get one of these pads for the base
long
of
gel,
my,
yeah.
for my keyboard. I'll have to go and look at one of those, or maybe I could just make one out of something.
That sounds like something that you would do. Yeah, just some, I don't know, leaves or something.
It is autumn.
It is, isn't it?
A bushel
of leaves.
My favorite
season. And my favorite typo negative song, which is October Rust, which is because October is autumn in North America. If you could translate that to like April Rust. Anyway, if you haven't heard that song, typo negative, October Rust.
Mm-hmm. That's an actual whole album.
Actually, that's the album. What's the track that I'm talking about? The track is called,
I just totally called you out on typo negative stuff.
You really did.
Take that.
October's Rust. Anyway, yeah, that whole album's amazing. But what I was going to say, so on that point of physical exhaustion, I've banged on about my shoes 100 times now, and my socks. But I reckon that the key to being not ruining your body as a wedding photographer is exercise, man. Like, and I was in this Facebook group and they were chatting about this, and these veteran wedding photographers who had been doing it for like 25 years were saying how wrecked their knees were. Like 20 years of lifting heavy gear, Pelican cases, light stands, bending up and down all the time, and they just had really bad joints and hips and stuff. And I reckon since Michelle and I started like working our lower bodies, like squats and stuff, and with weighted weight bars and stuff. Yeah, and wearing those shoes and wearing good socks, I've had no issues, touch wood. So, I don't know, I just thought that was an interesting thing because I think people don't really think, I didn't really think of this job as very physically demanding. And when I think of it now and I think of this job on the in the scale of jobs, like surely this job is not a very physically demanding job. But then my body tells me otherwise on a Sunday morning after I've shot two weddings. So, yeah.
Can I add to that?
Oh, please, please.
I used to, because you are quite risk averse.
Like I'm very risk averse. I'm a total pussy. That's the word you were going to use.
and some of that is just because you're T Stew and Australian. And but a lot of it's to do with the fact that you've got however many weddings who have paid deposits, and if you suddenly broke your leg, you'd be in a lot of trouble.
It'd be a big problem for me.
So, but I just think you're quite right with respect to exercising. Even though if we were to damage our body in some way, like, you know, break your wrist or whatever, it's important to keep active and keep exercising. And
totally.
Yeah, so I don't know if people are listening. I agree with you, Tom. You got to really keep active, keep your exercise and strength training up, because it will help you. Especially, you know, I can always feel it. Because I have, you know, you have times when you're working out and you're like, yeah, things are going well. Then you have times when you're just not so good. But I'll be at a wedding and I'll have to like just quickly nip up like a bank or something, or run up a sand dune. And if I've been working out, I'll be like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah. See you at the top. Up. But what's if that? I'm, take a group photo from the top of that hill. Done.
But if you're not and you're like, oh man. Oh, and you're like, hands on the knees, like up the hill. Oh,
I always love when I have to, middle of the ceremony, and if I have to bend down really low to get a photo of like a little kid ring bearer or whatever, and I duck down really low and I get the shot, and then I just duck back up and I wonder if all the guests are like, oh, look how agile he is. Look at him. He ducked down so easily. He must work out.
The moment of dread for me is taking my shoes off and then putting my shoes on when I go to like the bridal prep.
Oh,
and
wow,
I get
really?
There and I got to bend down because I'm wearing my cameras on that belt. And I'm like, all the way down. And then,
all
like,
the way down.
Leaving. Everyone's like, hey, we got to go get in the car. It's like,
and you're
it's
like
a
10
rush.
Minutes later.
And they're like, oh, Jesus, got to put the shoes on. Hang on. Bend down.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Can I steer us onto a different path here? Or do you want to keep saying
there's just one thing that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about with respect to making your life easier with respect to exercise and shit.
Go.
Exercise and that kind of thing.
Exercise and shit. A technical term.
And this is a big one that we don't have time to talk about now, but maybe we could lead into it another day.
Okay.
And that really is, the lighter your gear, the easier the easier the day is.
That is so true.
But what do we do when Sigma just bring out an 85 that weighs a ton and the 135 has just like been announced? And
oh, yeah. That's actually something I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'll be in the States when that gets released, so I might just have to swoop in and pick one up.
Okay. Hold on. I'll respond to your first point first. You're right. I'm super envious of people shooting on Fuji gear because it's so light and so small. The Sony's not so much because those bits of glass are like freaking heavy. Mm-hmm. Like I think the Sony, those Zeiss lenses as well are like a lot heavier than the Canon Nikon counterparts.
Sure.
But the Fuji, imagine instead of having a Canon, like a 5D whatever on each side with a big bit of L glass, imagine having an X-T2 with a little Fuji. Like that'd be so good.
It wouldn't even feel like work.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
I'd just be zipping around.
And it really makes a difference. Like, by the end of the day, if you are wearing two cameras a lot of the day, like I think we are and like a lot of people are, if each of those cameras weighs almost half or even three quarters, I think that at the end of the day, the cumulative effect would be you'd feel so much better, you know?
Yeah. And so Fuji do a sweet little, is it a 23 mil lens or something that converts to 35. And then they do something else that converts to, is it a 90, I think, that converts to 135 exactly.
They have the exact same ones. The numbers are different, but the end result is identical and the aperture is very wide.
Should I just put it out there and say, if anyone out there has gone from Nikon or Canon to Fuji, tell us about your experience, and we'd love to like talk about it on the show.
That's a really good invitation. Because it's super, super tempting, man.
Oh, especially like tell us about your like physically how you felt after a winning using a Fuji or similar, what are they called? Mirrorless camera.
Mirrorless. But to your other point.
Yes.
Okay. So you love the Canon 135, yeah?
Like it's my firstborn.
If you could have children with it, would you? Yeah, I thought so.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's my firstborn, and now you have children. That'd be, with...
Well, you are from New Zealand. Oh, no. Sorry.
It's like a sheep.
Okay, what would it take for you to upgrade to that Sigma 135?
How dare you call it an upgrade?
Well, that's true. Cross grade?
I don't know,
but like,
man.
But like, seriously, how much better can it get? Like that Canon 135 is so good.
Okay, would you ever want to go to 1.8?
Speeches? Oh, if I had it, I would.
Just because you can get a, okay. So the bokeh would have to be better.
Well, it would
and
be
Sigma
better.
Sigma isn't famous for the best bokeh in town. The 85.
Pronouncing bokeh?
How am I supposed to say it?
I don't know. I don't know. I would have said
bokeh.
I would have said bokeh. I know Yanks, they say bokeh.
Bokeh.
That's so weird.
Look, it would have to be amazing because it's going to be more expensive than the Canon.
A lot.
So it would have to be better in every possible way, and it's going to be heavier. Oh,
and the
man.
Thing is, Sigma autofocus is not the most reliable often. You know,
you were
it is
saying
sometimes.
If you micro adjust, it can be quite good.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just overall, I would like that Canon lens. I know it's like a 30-year-old design, and they haven't changed it, but that lens is. Like, that lens is virtually flawless.
Maybe. You know? I think last time we talked about it would just be a case of we're both going to get one and who would get one first. But in reality, I would want to really try one out.
Well, now that the price has been announced, I think it was it 1300 US?
Or yeah, 13 or 14 or something, yeah.
Ah, so that.
So in New Zealand, it's going to be over $2,000. In Australia, it's going to be
1800 or whatever.
Yeah.
18, maybe even more.
So, yeah, man. And I've got two 135s sitting here. Well, that get used every weekend, but.
Because imagine it would be heavier, wouldn't it? Because the aperture, because everything has to open a little wider.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be heavier. So.
And Sigma are pretty famous for, like that 85's, that's a beast, right?
It's amazing. Heavy. Oh, it's huge. But it's like 1.2 kilos or something.
Yeah. So the 135, it's got to be similar. I'm very excited about it. And I'm glad that Canon has some competition because maybe it'll make them, I mean, there are whispers about a new 135 from Canon.
Oh yeah, they have been for ages.
But I think it's definitely worth checking out. Like if I got the 135 from Sigma, I'd have 35, 135, boom. I'd get the 85 in the middle.
Huh, yeah.
I'd be like Sigma all the way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, my 35 from Sigma just keeps on trucking.
I know, right? And you never have issues with it.
No, never ever. It's great.
Cool.
Okay, good.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to speak two words which are going to strike fear into your soul. Are you ready?
Mother-in-law. No.
That is also a very scary term. Okay. Uncle Bob.
Yeah, right.
Are you okay?
I'm good. good old trusty Uncle Bob.
What's Uncle Bob? What is an Uncle Bob in case someone doesn't know?
He's could it just be a man?
Definitely not, but it's generally
you would then call it an Auntie Bob.
Well, it might be a transgender.
I think Uncle Bob is non-binary. It's can be an Uncle Bob.
I don't know if a feminist would agree with you on that.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, how about we call them friend?
It would be like guest Bob.
An ambiguous name, but then we can't call it Bob. What's a name that means it could be both Jesse? Oh, what about
Jesse
friend
or
Jesse?
Sam or
friend Sam, friend Jesse,
Billy,
okay. Billy, Uncle friend Billy,
friend Billy,
or guest Billy.
Yeah. Anyway, this person is basically someone at a wedding with a camera. Any kind of camera, like literally it could be from a point and shoot to a 1DX with a 70-200.
Yeah.
And they're only a guest, but it is they've taken it upon themselves. I think it's important to note here, they've not been asked to
capture. Although sometimes they have.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not often.
If there's prior warning, I think there's less. They're not so bad. Like if the bride says to you, "Look, my uncle's going to be there. I've asked him to take some photos for me." It's kind of like, all right, he's not quite. In my opinion, he's not quite as Uncle Bobish as someone who's just at the wedding taking photos, and pretty much getting in your way a bit.
That's the kind of crux of it.
Yeah, either they are next to you, and so they are preventing you from doing your work as well as you want to, or as one I had on Saturday, they are like behind the bride and groom during the ceremony.
Are you serious? Okay, do you want to tell me this story, or is it?
There's not a lot more to tell. Just
okay.
Yeah, the bride and groom got to the altar. He's standing behind the altar taking photos, and I could tell he had this moment where he was like, "Oh yeah, I've got the best spot here." And then he
this
sort
isn't
of
going to bother anyone at all.
And then he definitely went, "Oh wait a minute, I'm right up the front." He right ran away.
Oh.
But that's an Uncle Bob. Well, how would you extrapolate? Would you add to that?
Yeah, I actually think that the true Uncle Bob. A component of the true Uncle Bob is that they do have a serious camera.
Okay.
So yes, in a lot of cases it will be just a roving guest with a point and shoot or even a phone. But the ones that I find that are the worst, Uncle Bobs are the ones that they have a big camera and a big lens, and often they'll have a true Uncle Bob has a flash on top with the flash. This is middle of the day.
Yeah, pointing direct flash. Straight. Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah. So from that I can assume and guess immediately they have absolutely no idea what they're doing.
Sure.
But and then what the Uncle Bob will do is rove around during the ceremony and get what they deem as great shots with very little, if any, regard to where we are standing. So sure. What happened on, well, this was 10 days ago now. What happened? So my lovely bride, her mum had invited to the wedding one of her workmates, one of the mum's workmates, and had said to the bride, "Oh, you know, I've invited this guy. He's a really keen photographer. He's going to bring his camera to take some photos. But don't worry, I'll tell him to like stay out of the way, and I'll tell him to, you know, keep back." And so the bride relayed this to me, and I was like, just as you did, I was like, yeah, no worries. Like, okay, first of all, it's an invite from a family member. Second of all, the bride's okay with it. And third, he's been specifically asked to just please be respectful and stay out of the way.
And would I be fair to say that outwardly you're like, hey, that's no problem, that's cool, but inside you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what happened. Because I know how these things go. Like, yeah, this is the way it's always set up and relayed. But you know, we know in practice it doesn't happen like that.
Sure.
So this guy, not the issue started before the ceremony even began. So I was in my spot where I was set up to photograph the bride getting walked down the aisle by her dad, and then to see the groom's face. So I was in my perfect spot. If he was standing near me or behind me taking photos, okay, I could have maybe dealt with that. He walked ahead of me where the bride was coming and stood right in the middle of where the bride would walk down. And I was like, wow. So I started shooting and I couldn't shoot the bride because he was in the way. And in my head, I'm like, okay, surely this guy's going to move when he realized that he did, to his credit. He started shooting, then he turned around and saw me and where I was and saw my camera and decided to move. Not quickly at all. He just sort of sauntered back and stood in it.
Shuffled away.
He spent the entire ceremony walking in circles around the guest and wherever I was, he was on the other side. So right. I could see him in like 80% of my shots. He came up really close behind the bride and groom. He came into the aisle. The whole time he was just shooting. Okay, now up to this point, this is a classic Uncle Bob, and I am not one to cause any type of conflict mid-ceremony because I don't want the bride and groom to be like, wow, my photographer, like, you know what I mean?
That's what they'll remember.
Yeah, exactly. I just deal with this. He's really frustrating, but I'm not going to make a massive scene out of it. And usually after the ceremony, it stops.
Yeah.
So this particular venue, after the ceremony, we all mingled, took some family photos. Then the first place I wanted to take them for a few portraits was like right next to where the ceremony was. And all the guests could see us. There was like a really nice long alley of trees that was partially sort of separated from the ceremony area. Although you could see where we were, just you couldn't see exactly what we were doing.
Right.
So I rounded up the bride and groom. We went to this little area, which is like a 15-second walk away, and I put them in my little position and I'm starting shooting and I hear something behind me and it's Uncle Bob. So he's not only has he got his same setup with his direct flash and whatever, he's got his huge low pro shoulder bag over his shoulder. Like he's ready for the, he's set for the portrait shoot. Like he's on location. He's joining me the whole time. He comes up sort of 2 minutes behind me with his direct flash and he starts shooting. And I actually got really angry. Okay. And then I had to physically go like, okay, he does not know any better. He doesn't understand why this is a situation that I don't want. So the first thing I did is I said to him, hey, can you please don't use your flash? Because I was trying to figure out how do I deal with this situation. He's like, right. Yeah, no flash. And then I was like, no. This is unacceptable. So I said to the bride, is it okay if I tell him to go away? Because the bride hated this situation. She didn't want him there. And she was visibly... like she was not relaxed at all. And she said to me, yeah, go ahead. So I said to him, look, I don't know what I was said because I was pretty angry and I was like kind of incredulous at the situation. But
did
I was like,
go into Hulk mode.
I think I was like, hey man, look, I don't mean to be rude, but this is my time with the bride and groom. And I've spent so much time developing a nice rapport with these guys. And I really don't feel it's fair for you to be here taking photos. This is my time with them. And I was like, no, you just no. And to his credit, he was like, yeah. Okay. No worries. And he went away, but like super dejected, like tail between his legs, like he'd just been told off. But I was like, come on, like on so many levels, it's so ridiculous that I had to actually tell the guy, go away. This is like, this is not your place. I don't know. It was
good for
so
you. I'm really proud of you, man, for saying that. That's not an easy thing to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't actually that bad. Like by that stage, he'd been so annoying. And like I said, I'll be very tolerant of the ceremony because that's not my place to... I'm not the master of that domain. Like I'm there to document the ceremony, but the portraits, it's my domain, right? I'm there to do a job and...
Yep. Yeah. And especially if you see that the bride is not happy and you did the right thing by talking to her first and then it's just like...
Totally.
You've got to get him out of there.
I was so frustrated.
So what do you do about these uncles? I think that's all... I mean, what you did is all you can do. At the ceremony, you kind of just have to grin and bear it because you're not going to cause a fuss at the ceremony.
Do you agree? Would you have done the same thing?
Yeah.
In the ceremony?
Yeah. In the ceremony, I mean... What
couldn't you do?
Maybe if you cross paths with them at some point at the back. You know, the ceremony's happening. There's that sort of 5 or 10 minutes where there's not a lot of action and you meet him at the back of the ceremony. You're like, hey man, like I see you taking some photos. That's cool. Just here's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be doing these things. Just make sure, you know, just, I don't know, make sure you're not up the front or make sure you give me some room in the aisle here because this is what happens. I mean, for us, we know how our wedding's going to be and we know where we're going to be. You know, we know the flow, the step-by-step. He'll be reacting to each moment as it's happening. Like,
I have no idea what's about to happen in 5 minutes.
Exactly. So he'll find himself somewhere and think, oh, this is good fortune or, whoops, I'm in the wrong place. I need to move to get a better shot or whatever. And that's when you're just going to be like, dude.
Yeah. Throw a rock at him.
Hey, listen. Once again, I don't know if this is a habit I should get into, but tell us your Uncle Bob stories, people. Like, I'm sure there's some crackers out there.
I had one in one of my New Zealand weddings a few weeks ago where for the first kiss, I was ready in the aisle for the kiss. And you know when you shoot in portrait mode, unless you have a like a Pro 1 series or a big camera. Yeah, with a grip, yeah. When you have a non-gripped camera, when you shoot in portrait mode, your elbow goes out.
Yep.
So I was about to shoot the kiss. My elbow was out. Uncle Bob was like a meter behind me on my right. And he touched my elbow. He's like, hey, man, watch out. I'm here. And I gave him the dirtiest look. And I put my elbow out even further. Like, what the? Put your shit down and just enjoy the ceremony. Like, it was unbelievable.
Oh, man. Look. I don't know if there's a solution to this, Tom. I do not know. I think it's going to be at every... I'd say... I know for a fact the last 3 weddings I've been to, it's happened. That's no question.
Well, it goes back to the unplugged ceremony thing. Like, a really good way to do it is
key,
to educate people before the fact. And it's one thing I say to people when they book me. I was like, I highly recommend you tell your guests, put your phones away, put your cameras away. And yeah, the true unplugged ceremonies never have this issue. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You stand up the front.
So nice.
You just look at the guests and they're all just looking. And you see them. It's just amazing to see that, and the looks on people's faces.
Don't you love that moment when the celebrant's like, we've got a professional photographer here. They'll be taking great shots. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You squeal with glee.
And a part of you is like, whoa. If only they knew like how little I know about what's going on right now.
No idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I still have no idea.
Literally just bought this camera yesterday.
So funny.
Yeah, dude. Oh, well, nice one. I look forward to hearing more of your you growling at Uncle Bob's.
You know, I want to have a soundtrack. Like when I was about to tell that guy off, I wanted to hear Straight Outta Compton by NWA.
And then you turn around and it does that thing where it puts the glasses on you.
The blunt out of my mouth.
Thug life.
Hey, man, if you wouldn't mind, please. This is my time in the Brighton group. Thug life. Straight Outta Compton.
You'll get better at it.
I actually had
a thug life moment at Saturday's wedding where the bride was staring. I might share this
hashtag
photo actually.
Okay.
I'm gonna share this photo on our somewhere where we share photos.
Okay.
So the bride was staring straight into the sun and she's doing her vows and everything, and she was like, oh, it's so bright, I need a hat. She like took a moment out of the ceremony and said, Oh my God, it's so bright, I need a hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's just sort of standing
around. Oh, I know what you did.
No. I was like, because I was wearing my hat.
That's what I, yeah.
And I was thinking, well, and these are the thoughts that went through my head. I could offer her my hat. My head's really sweaty. And I was like, and I was really torn. I was like, I should. And then anyway, out of nowhere, granddad just walks up and everyone's like, what's going on? Like I didn't connect the dots. I think a lot of the audience didn't connect the dots. His hat was in his hand, and because he went from the front, you couldn't see the hat,
right?
So he goes up and then raises this hat to her, and everyone's just like, woo, like applauding.
Thug life.
I've got this photo when he turned around, he's got a cane. And he's wearing glasses and he just looks straight at the camera, deadpan, absolute deadpan. And I've got this black and white shot of him just, okay, that, I'm definitely putting that on Facebook.
Can we do a thing where we share to the page? Not only do we share Thug Life wedding moments, we should make that a hashtag, but also I want you to Photoshop those glasses and the blunt into his mouth. Oh, he's already got glasses on, doesn't he?
Yeah, I could do it so easily.
You should do that. That's mad.
Okay, it's done.
Nice shot, man. Nice shot. That sounds awesome.
Hey, bro, we're looking good for time.
Really?
Very good. Yeah. So
okay.
Guess what? I have a double header.
Do you? That's good.
I had one last weekend, and I've got one this weekend and next weekend. Triple header.
Beast mode. You better be doing your squats this week to get yourself ready for that.
Actually, I have been going to the gym. It's been quite good.
Oh, you have, haven't you?
Mm. Yeah. It's been nice. Oh, hey, and another whole thing we never talked about. I went to the South Island and did a whole lot of astrophotography.
What? I haven't seen any of these online. Have you posted
any? No, I've kind of just went off the grid a little bit. But I haven't even got them off my camera yet. They're still sitting there. But
that's a bit negligent.
We went up to this mountain where it's called Mount John in Lake Tekapo, and there's an observatory up there, and you go up and do the tour and everything. It was for my mum and dad's 40th wedding anniversary. My mum had always wanted to go. So anyway, you get there and they're like, you're not allowed any white light at all. You can only have red. Excuse me. You can only have red lights because it's all to do with your eyes. You know when you're in a submarine, they only have red light. Red light's much better at nighttime for your eyes. Yeah. So you're not allowed to look at the back of your camera ever. You're not allowed an iPhone. Yeah, it's these rules. It's like a proper rules of the place. So when you get there, you hand over your camera, if you choose, to the resident astrophotographer, and she sets up. She's got this tripod with a tracking mechanism on it.
Oh, like a
star tracking, and it's got this huge big boom. And she puts like five or six different cameras on these little mounts. So it's this huge big boom with all these cameras.
Yeah.
And it's just tracking the Milky Way. And so she
sits.
Oh
my goodness.
And so I've got all these like proper awesome star photos on my camera. They're like 3 minute exposures.
Oh wow.
They're amazing. And
oh man,
me being
awesome.
The snobby like camera photographer guy, I hand over my camera and I'm like, hey, listen, what's kind of zoom setting in? Because I got my AS16-35. I was like, what sort of zoom setting? Like, blah, blah, blah. I was talking to her. And she was giving me nothing. She was just like, yeah, no, yes, okay, here's the camera. Yeah, okay, good, thank you.
Wow,
and I left that thinking, this is horrible. This is going to end so badly. But then she just nailed it.
Wow.
So I was this typical jerk camera guy, basically.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's kind of...
Damn, I was just there like 2 weeks ago and I didn't even know that place was there.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll send you some shots.
Oh man, you should post one in on the Facebook page. All Snappening right. Facebook right. page.
It'll be Uncle Bob.
Or the Gram.
No, not Uncle Bob. It'll be Thug Life, Granddad, and Astro.
Can you Photoshop a blunt into one of the stars?
Yes.
Thug Life Starshot. On Mars. Photoshop it into Mars.
I will. If I can see Mars. I don't think Mars is there, but I'll try. It can be there. Like, well, it's only one part of the sky.
Just Photoshop it in.
A Mars bar?
Yeah.
And how are you? What are you doing? What's happening this weekend?
I got two weddings. I got two nice weddings at nice venues, pretty local in the Highlands. Got an engagement shoot Sunday night. And yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
Gonna, normal. I'm good.
Damn it.
I'm real good.
Literally, Tom, I'm not joking. I just realized what time it is.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And
I've not got anything ready.
This does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Because you are negligent.
Okay, how about this? What about this one, Tom? Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
You know what? I was a little bit intimidated to go and do astrophotography. Like,
oops.
Easy. what I described, we handed our cameras over and the lady did it, but the night before we did a bunch of astrophotography down by the lake. There's a church and it's kind of where everyone goes. Oh my god, Tom, and the amount of people that walk through your shot with their phone out,
I know that place,
or take a photo and then look at the photo on their phone for 5 minutes up next to the church. Oh my god. But anyway, I was quite sort of like, yeah, I can take an astro photo, no big deal. But I would say to people out there, this is how it begins. No, but get your tripod. Get your tripod out and go and just have some practice outside with astrophotography, because it's really rewarding. Just don't go longer than 30 seconds, because then you get star trails.
Unless you want
that's
star
what
trails.
You want.
Boom.
Exactly. No, I found it really rewarding. So my advice would be get out there and make some astrophotography snapping. Oh, you broke it.
Nice.
And that is That is it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, nice one. All right, I'll talk to you next week.
That's it. I don't know. Did you stop recording?
No. Should I have?
I don't know. I didn't. Okay, bye.
And goodbye.
Boo. Bye.